The late news was full of it. They knew nothing. The way he liked it. Last week, the third victim had been identified, Margaret something or other, his grandma's name. Not that that was of any consequence. Margaret had served a purpose, though the fact that she too was a grandmother pricked his conscience slightly. Not enough to stop the hatred boiling in his gut, or to make him reconsider. She'd done nothing to him personally. It was what she represented that made him choose her. He liked to think of her as, what was the term? A means to an end. For days he'd dominated the headlines, everyone talking about the killer who'd evaded Northumbria's elite murder squad. Inept was the word reporters used. They took every opportunity to knock the police, and when an informant tipped them off that the senior investigating officer had abandoned not only the case, but his profession too, the press had a field day, claiming that the stress of an accelerating triple murder investigation had got to him. A carefully planned retirement was the excuse given. It was bollocks, of course. What did they know? And now there were four. He had to admit he was thriving on the notoriety. Yes, there had been a moment when his courage had deserted him, but it soon passed, as most things did when they got going. First night nerves, nothing more. In the end, he got over it. The anger was enough to propel him forward. Stephanie had a lot to answer for. All he'd done was what she'd drummed into him time and time again. Concentrate on what's important. He had. He was. Steph, she wouldn't let him call her that, was like a broken record. She'd always been opinionated, a woman who liked the sound of her own voice, the type to impart what she considered to be advice that only she was qualified to give. The type to spout forth at every opportunity, classifying people, rating and pigeonholing them as she saw fit. It wore him down, and he was done with her arsy attitude. She'd live to regret her actions. But not for long. Scanning news channels, he was enjoying the drama his actions had caused. His career hadn't been all it was cracked up to be. He'd been forced to make so many sacrifices, both in his professional and personal life, and this infuriated him. For a while, he'd been treading water, but then he'd realised he had other options. It was a moment of clarity, like he'd thrown a magic switch illuminating the darkness. He knew then that with a little creativity, he might help the bitch to see more clearly. Bizarrely, she was also the conduit through which he would regain his self-respect. He wouldn't dwell on the one that got away. Number four was fresh in his memory. As he boarded the train, his victim had been reading a document spread out in front of her, a thin strip of red ribbon trailing from her bag. He'd seen enough of those to know what it was, the binding for a legal brief, an advisory document. Perfect. She didn't look up as he sat down, too busy on the phone, that edge to her voice that he couldn't abide. He didn't need to see her face to know that she was the one. Placing his ticket on the seat beside him, he'd dropped his head into his chest, crossed his arms and shut his eyes, feigning sleep, his baseball cap pulled low to avoid a face-to-face with the conductor as he passed through the carriage. 15 minutes and three stops later, the train slowed, approaching Stocksfield Station. Perfect. No sign of the conductor. The woman opposite hung up the phone, folded her briefing document, tying the red ribbon around it in readiness to leave. As she slipped it into a bag, he let his mobile drop to the floor, accidentally on purpose. It skidded across the aisle. A bloke would have glanced down and stepped over it, but, true to form, his plan worked. Most women were accommodating, even with strangers. Number four was one of those, a gracious lady, taught to do the right thing, never to turn a blind eye to a person in need, the kind to say, I'm sorry, even when it wasn't her fault, but she also had that look of irritation, like he'd bothered her unnecessarily. That look alone would determine her demise. He'd faked a yawn, searching his pockets, then the aisle, his back to the only other passenger in the carriage. As the woman bent to pick up the device, her coat fell open, a show of cleavage, soft skin, firm breasts, a hint of lacy underwear beneath a black dress. Their fingers kissed as she passed him the mobile, a frisson of excitement coursing through him as the train stopped at the platform. He'd never get over the thrill of that first touch, a combination of anticipation and fear.